Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman by heading over to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Halbkasten mit Tom Reimann und David Bell.
All right, let's get started. Hey, everyone.
Hello.
Pew, pew, pew.
Welcome to another episode of Hypecast.
Hypecast.
The show where we get hyped about stuff and laser gun noises. I'm your co-host, Tom Reimann.
I'm your other co-host, David Bell.
And now you.
Do I introduce myself?
I mean, sometimes...
I didn't know if you're going to be like, this is, we have with us blank, or
we've
I'm just going to like, pick
we've
it up.
We've never stuck the landing on a guest intro.
It could go either way after we introduce ourselves.
I'm Katie Willer.
Hi, Katie.
And I'm fending for myself up in this piece.
It's a battle royale.
Listen, there's only so many rations left in this lifeboat, so.
That's true.
And one of us is definitely a Nazi. Have you guys seen Lifeboat?
No.
You guys seen Lifeboat? It's a Lifeboat reference, you guys. I'm not actually
calling it my friends. Yeah, it is a Lifeboat reference.
Yeah, I'm like, who's a Nazi? I know it's not me. It's Nazi me.
I see. When you say things like that, it makes me suspicious.
It's 8 o'clock, and I'm starting my descent into sleepiness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, for
this
sure.
This is gonna be toughy.
No, it's gonna be spooky.
I'm tired. David's gonna lose his voice.
Yeah, I'm currently battling laryngitis. Mm. So we'll see if I make it to the end of this.
Woo!
You guys.
Yeah, let's go. Let's put some
time
on
if
the
I
clock.
Sound less energetic, it's not that I drink a shitload of coffee before we started.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I'm not energetic. It's just that the energy coming from my chest to my mouth is being inhibited along the way by my throat, which hates me. It hates me right now.
I'm learning so much about David's body.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's how it works.
Dave's physiology is not unlike the Iron Man suit, where all the power radiates from the chest.
It's my core.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Holy God. Should we start with the trailers?
Yes.
Okay. Let's do that. Let's do that thing.
First one is the Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
What do you think of the dumb new lightsaber?
Well,
Katie,
I mean,
go ahead.
Bitchin'.
Right.
But
oh, continue, please.
Well, okay. Now, don't hurt me, but I'm not a big Star Wars person. Like, it's just not the thing, one of the things for me of, like, hallmarks of my childhood.
I actually didn't grow up on it.
Some people have a problem with that, so I'm just going to preface it by saying that. But I think it's such a cheap ploy to just like fucking do all the clips up top. You know what I mean? Like to be like, remember all of these movies that had nothing to do with all the other movies that came out. Well, I mean, obviously they have like some stuff to do with it, but I mean like
close.
They're not the same movies.
You're pretty close in saying that they have nothing to do with each other. Yeah, that's like my first main takeaway from the, and to be fair, this is like, It's only sort of a trailer. It's like just some new footage they released.
It's like a filler.
Yeah, at the D23. But like it is so like member Star Wars, like the member berries that it's like.
Right.
It's like, yeah, we remember Star Wars. It's a $1 billion franchise and you just opened a theme park. Like, yeah. We remember Star Wars.
In this 1 minute and 30 second trailer, we're going to show you Carrie Fisher more than anybody else. Remember Carrie Fisher? It's like. Kind of exploitative, I feel like.
Oh, very. It's like, she's dead, so this is your last chance to see Carrie Fisher on the big screen. I gotta give you my money now. Also,
flip out the lightsaber.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay, Darth Maul had a double-edged lightsaber.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was more compact, I think. Because here's the beauty of the lightsaber: it's a compact weapon because the light comes out. She has to flip it open.
Right. I don't understand.
Which already gives it like a. Like, it's a weakness in the middle now. Yeah.
Well,
and then it seems longer than the Darth Maul lightsaber, and then it's on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. Like, it's neat looking, but... Well,
Okay, like, this is the kind of dumb shit that would have blown my 12-year-old head right the fuck off. Like, oh, look at that fucking... Oh, my God, look at that lightsaber! But, like, also, it's... Like, why is it a switchblade? Like, it's...
Yeah, like what purpose does it serve? Because if it was like, if it wasn't just like a switchblade, if it was like nunchucks,
nunchucks would be great.
Like, oh yeah,
the they were hooked by a chain and she could like fling them.
I mean, that would
that's
be really
like
dangerous.
Different and interesting.
Yeah. I would love for a character come out with nunchucks and immediately murder themselves.
Right.
Yeah, because you do that thing where you smack yourself on the back and you're just like. You cut off your own head.
Immediately slice your arms off.
But yeah, you know what I mean? It's like, at least it's a thing.
Yeah.
Like,
it's just,
different.
It seems like so, it's such a basic, obvious, dumb, different thing to do, like the crossguard lightsaber in Force Awakens, where it's just like, hey, let's make a complicated lightsaber for no reason.
I think it's a different version of the same issue that was pointed out by Red Letter Media about the prequels, is that the prequels were obsessed with lightsabers to the point that Yoda, whose literally whole deal is like size matters not, doesn't matter how little I am, I'm a great warrior using the Force. He has to take out a little lightsaber and
a
fight with it.
Lightsaber.
Right, and it was like this obsession, whereas the originals, they don't have that many lightsaber
all over the place
moments.
Like a hamster.
Yeah. And these new series, they don't have as many, they're not as lightsaber crazy as the prequels were, but they seem to have this still an obsession with them where they're like, well, we have to do a different one every time.
Right. We got to
bring out a new
lightsaber.
Saber.
And it's like, why would you flip that thing when it's turned on? That seems, it's like, this ain't your granddaddy's lightsaber. Check this out. What you think of that? Like,
I think David is right too, because it's like, at least Darth Maul's was like the hilt or whatever. The thing was the same size as a normal. The handle was the same size as a normal lightsaber. So you did really get that, like, it was the same size. But now you have double.
Mm-hmm.
It's like buying like a 2-pack of like Arizona iced tea, you know, where they come like shrink wrap together.
Right. Yeah.
And you can't hold it because it's too wide.
Yeah, it's a step backward.
Yeah.
It is just taping two lightsabers together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is somehow better.
Yeah, the Darth Maul lightsaber was so cool because one side came out and you're like, oh, cool. And then
the other side came out.
You're
like, fucking hell!
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, shit! Yeah.
My brain!
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just blew my goddamn head off. But yeah, this, I don't know. I mean, whatever. I'm done with Star Wars.
Again, Katie, I'm like you. I didn't grow up on it. It was something that I watched kind of more as a teenager. For that reason, it's just like, yeah, sure.
Well, all right.
Yeah, it's not like as emotionally, I'm not as emotionally attached to it. So I recognize that these movies are like, yeah, they're not great. But I'll go see it or whatever.
Well, the thing that sticks out to me the most, not just that ridiculous butterfly knife switchblade lightsaber, is the fact that I don't like, I am not excited to see the conclusion of this story. Like, I don't care.
Well, okay, remember when there was the three, and they started at 4, and it was like, oh shit, and then the prequels came, and the prequels made sense because it was like, oh, 1, 2, and 3. And then we learned that there was going to be 9 total. And it seemed like a really big deal. But now they've blasted us with Star Wars so much that I think the fact that this should be way bigger of a deal than it feels.
Right.
To be like, this is the 9th.
It's an oversaturation of the
market. Exactly.
Oh,
it was
sure.
Like, there were going to be 9 films, and this is number 9. This should be the big goddamn deal. And I don't think there's that much excitement around it in general.
Yeah, I know we've said this before, but I think part of what made Star Wars as special as it was to people was that there was so little of it and that it didn't come out so much. And now we're just like getting hosed down with Star Wars, and they've already, like, Rian Johnson's making a follow-up Star Wars trilogy. Or no, is it him, or is it, it's Weiss and Benioff, isn't it?
Yeah, probably. I don't know. This is
but they've already announced, like, the next trilogy, so it's like, I don't give a shit. Like, what?
There's no stakes.
I don't know.
This is a bigger problem with most series now, is they don't end.
Yeah.
So we just don't really have anything to look forward to. That's I think, the issue with Endgame, which Endgame felt like, oh, okay, this is when the Marvel series should just end.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, anyway, and it's like, oh shit, you're just making more.
Yeah.
It's like a band that doesn't know when to leave the stage.
Yeah.
And they just keep playing until everybody watching just leaves.
Yeah, you've made that analogy before with, like, Toy Story 4.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Where it's like that goes so well, they just keep doing encores. Like, no, we were happy because you ended perfectly. Like, stop it.
Right, it's like, instead of being the band, their LCD sound system.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, band did the last waltz. Everybody was like, great, go out on a high note, do your own thing. LCD sound system, same thing. But then they're like, you know what? Never mind. We want
to
come back.
Right. I was going to compare it to The Undertaker, who had that great.
Also apt.
Yes. Yeah.
Great ending, and then good came right back.
Good thing we brought him out of the retirement to fucking lose to Brock Lesnar.
Hmm.
Me sad again.
It's a huge bummer.
Pivoting to huge bummers on that subject.
Yeah, we should probably move on.
Lady and the Tramp trailer. What do you guys think?
Oh my god. This is like the most damning indictment of the Disney Plus service, where it's just like, oh, you're just selling us Disney Channel again. Like, this is just like when Disney Channel came out, it was a premium channel. And this is just Disney Channel again. And this is just like, this on its face, this movie is so shitty that it's like, oh, of course this is a made for cable movie. Like,
but it's just beat for beat. Like, that is the thing. As I'm like, do like an interesting reboot where it's different, but literally it's beat for beat the same fucking thing. Although I do have to say, as off-putting as it was, the dogs were talking, like, when their mouths moved, I fucking hated that. But when the Scotty dog came on the screen in his, I think he's wearing a tiny sweater, I almost started crying. Like, I was like, I love him so much.
The little puppy lady as well.
Yeah, I can't wait to see the Siamese cats.
Where's the prostitute one?
Right?
I don't know.
The, like, one who has, like, a black eye and a shag haircut. And she's, like, been around town.
I have a feeling they've probably made some adjustments. I know, I'm pretty sure they said they're not doing the Siamese cats.
Cowards.
Yeah.
You're gonna reboot this.
Remember when, like, the movie Cats and Dogs came out with Jeff Goldblum?
Sure do.
And Tobey Maguire.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the little cats and dogs that had CGI mouths moving. And we, as, like, a society, were like, nope, that's not how you do it. And we just were like, no, why would you do that? Like, Homeward Bound it. If you're gonna make animals talk, just Homeward Bound it.
Just have them Garfield. Yeah. Just have them think their thoughts at each other.
It's so weird that Disney is just like, no, we're going to try that again. Because it is really, I don't know, there's something really disturbing about seeing a dog. It's like Son of Sam shit. It's like seeing a dog talk. You're just like, oh, God.
Yeah, it's just like, why? And I mean, I know why. It's because they have to make shit for that streaming service, you know?
Yeah, I wonder what they're gonna do, because they're really front-loading it with all this shit, but then it's like,
it's not sustainable to do full, you know?
Well, they apparently have a TV show they're rolling out that's from the point of view of Jeff Goldblum. It's just like, we put a camera on Jeff Goldblum and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. For Disney Plus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Which, I feel like that, I mean, I don't know about that.
I feel like that's going to escalate in all sorts of unexpected ways.
Yeah, I feel like that's going to get real dark, but we'll see.
Also, like, the whole point of Jeff Goldblum is to watch Jeff Goldblum be Jeff Goldblum.
Yes.
I don't need to see other people react to Jeff Goldblum. I want to see Jeff Goldblum be a weirdo. And right. If you're John Malkovich-ing it and you're just inside the head.
Right. It's like doing a show about people reacting to the Grand Canyon. And it's like, I don't want to see the people watching the Grand Canyon.
I want to see this majestic natural wonder.
Yeah. I want to see this wonder of the world.
Yeah.
Wow.
For Lady and the Tramp, I'm really excited to watch them eat spaghetti. Two dogs eating, just chowing on. Mm-hmm. Like, I really want them to just have taken two dogs and just given them spaghetti and had them just like go at it, and that's the scene.
I always think of that vine where the dog, they do like the, like Lady and the Tramp, and then it's just an actual clip of a chihuahua coughing up a bunch of pasta that it just ate.
Oh, that's great.
That's just all I imagine.
Yeah, you don't want to give dogs spaghetti.
No,
it's probably not
sending
good
a bad message to children.
Who are those maniacs serving them?
It was the guy at the restaurant, and he was like,
"No, I know, but it's just funny to see them in a live action context, standing in the background watching these dogs fucking eat a plate of spaghetti. It's like, what the hell are you guys doing?
I'm sure it's a delightful Italian stereotype. I feel like, yeah, it's just it's two dudes working at like a low rent.
Right.
Italian restaurant,
like a Fazoli's or something.
But it's like, but it's like slow that night, and they're like, "Hey, that fucking dog is back. Hey, there's another dog. Hey, you want to make like a little place setting for the dog? Oh my god, that's a great idea." Yeah. And then their boss comes in, and they're just like in the back with a little table and a little tablecloth.
Come to think of it, spending time as a dishwasher in a fancy restaurant—that is something we would absolutely do if it was a slow night. Just like, there's a couple of stray dogs out there. You want to make them a little dinner?
Right. Well, you would sure. do that to be ironic about the scene from Lady of the Tramp. Like, what in the universe where Lady and the Tramp doesn't exist, like, what the hell are these two guys thinking
about?
No,
he's on acid or something. Like, he's just...
Yeah, he gives no fucks at this point about his job, and he's just like, yeah, I'm rolling right now. Like, that dog and that other dog are in love, and I want to, like, help them get there.
Right.
I want to do something nice for these dogs.
Hey, these dogs are on a date.
And they're like, "Doug, cool it, man. Do you need to like go sit in the refrigerator for a little bit, cool down? No, I'm making dinner for these dogs. Okay, Doug.
I'm gonna make it a magical night for them."
Yeah.
Oh, that person's story is way more interesting than these dogs.
Oh yeah. Well, I assume it would be a dark descent.
Sure. Yeah.
Their mouths are moving, Doug. Doug, you gotta cool it on the hallucinogens. They talk to me. Okay, Doug. Maybe we go homesick tonight. Is that okay?
You guys ready to talk about the two popes?
Oh.
Sure.
I feel like Jonathan Pryce was like built to play the Pope. Like,
this
he's been
party.
Waiting his whole life to get to this age where he can play a
to get
pope.
To Pope ripe old Pope age.
Well, they look,
They both look pretty Pope-like.
They look identical, yeah.
So I hope they both arrived on set and were just like, at long last, we can play Popes. Sure.
Popes. They're just like us. That's like what I thought. I was just like, I don't care.
I like these two actors, but it's
actors,
I super don't care about this.
Okay, see, I'm oddly excited about this. I'm really excited. I hope this comes to blows. Like, I hope they start having a Pope fight. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they won't. But,
no,
like,
don't.
I don't know. Just, like, a drama between the old Pope and new Pope. I'm in.
Yeah,
I'm
he's
ready
like the
for
cool
this.
Hip Pope who, like, watches soccer in a bar and rides a Vespa.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And is Jonathan Pryce.
And is, like, slightly more progressive, but still pretty, like...
Well, I mean, it's better than...
Pretty
I mean,
bad.
You know, Benedict was in the Hitler Youth.
Right, yes.
Although
I forgot about
that. Yeah, I mean, to be fair, a lot of kids didn't have much choice, but whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, he wasn't Pope for very... Like, this is all pretty recent history. Like, he wasn't Pope for very long. Like, he got the job for a couple of years and was like, you know what? Fuck this. He just stepped down.
I don't want to be a Pope.
Yeah.
He pulled a real Ricky Williams.
Them just talking about the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, they're not weird. They're like us.
They're like popes. They're just like us.
Oh, man. But I love Jonathan Pryce. So.
Yeah, I'm going to watch the show, The Two Popes.
And Anthony Hopkins, who has a delightful Instagram presence.
Oh my God, he's so good online.
Yeah, he's got a kitty.
That's got to be.
And he plays the piano.
That's got to be like his like granddaughter or something who realized that he's just awesome.
Yeah.
And just video like films him, and he's just like, sure, yeah, you can start an account for me.
Yeah.
And he's terrific.
Yeah, I don't follow him on Instagram, but I do follow him on Twitter, which is great because he has like 2 tweets a year. And they're
but they're always amazing.
Yeah, they're incredible.
Yeah, it's a nice benign Instagram to follow.
Yeah.
Where you're never gonna be like upset by anything. You're never gonna feel bad about being yourself by following him. It's mostly right. just like, oh, he knows how to play the piano and he yeah. does like little inspirational monologues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like, look, I'm a rich old guy. You all know the drill.
You guys know
here's
me
in a Lecter.
Here's me in a bathrobe hanging out with my cat. And it's just like, this is great. It's the same with Sam Neill, where he's just like,
look at my pigs and my wine. Yeah.
Did you see there was a Twitter video of Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell on vacation in Hawaii?
Whoa.
And they're just like, they are your tipsy grandparents. Like, they're delightful. I got to find it and send it to you because she's just like, how handsome does he look? And they're like walking on like the grass, I guess, by their like hotel. And they're like, look at how beautiful it is. And he's like in a Hawaiian shirt and cargo shorts in the back. And he's like, it's beautiful.
I love it. That's like Mick Jagger. How did you see that where his son will post on Instagram and he'll post like dad posts under it? Like, looks great. Love you, son. Like stuff like the kind of shit every parent posts. But it's Mick Jagger.
Aww.
Like, I'm so proud of you.
Yeah. I love that.
It's the best. Perfect. Like, yeah, it's very just completely dad posting.
Yeah. All right. Next trailer. Next trailer, you guys.
Yeah, let's move on.
This is the Aeronauts. What do you guys?
This trailer began with like a trailer for the trailer where it's like the trailer for the Aeronauts begins now. I'm like, who do they imagine is getting hyped up for the Aeronauts?
The big Aeronauts fans.
But also, like, if you're ostensibly watching this on YouTube, like, you know what you clicked on,
right? Yeah.
Does anyone click immediately forget and are like, oh yeah, I'm watching the trailer for this fucking movie?
I mean, I know why they do it. They do it because of they put this ad before other YouTube videos and they have the skip in 5 seconds, so they do a 5-second ad.
Mm-hmm.
Like they do it on Facebook and stuff all the time. It's very irritating. That's why they do that shit.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah, I mean, here's the deal. I'm all for, like, a woman doesn't belong in a balloon. That line, I was just like, all right. What? I mean,
it's back when of all, sexism
of all
was
hills to die on, a woman doesn't belong in a balloon.
A woman's place is in the home, not the balloon.
Balloon.
Well, I do like the idea of some woman being like, I guess they think this, so someone's got to have to prove them wrong. I don't really want to go in this balloon, but, like, I mean, it's such an oddly like sexist thing to have like some rule to break, but it's like, yeah, eventually someone's going to have to prove that women can go in balloons.
Nobody belongs in a balloon.
That's the thing.
We don't fly. We're not supposed to fly. I mean, it's a miracle that right. airplanes and helicopters and paragliders or whatever exist.
That's the biggest problem with this trailer is it's a couple of people like, we're going to go in this balloon into the sky. And then they're like, oh no, we're having trouble in our big sky balloon.
Oh no,
like,
we went up too high and now I'm frozen. It's like, you're a weather guy. Like, you should know how clouds work.
Right. This really took us by surprise.
Yeah.
A quick jaunt in the balloon. Oh no, the altitude has frozen me. At one point, the basket falls off. I don't know.
I get it. People in a balloon, action. I get it. It's just, I feel no sympathy for them. Has Eddie Redmayne, does he make movies that take place in our era?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because what is it? Was Theory of Everything.
Les Miserables.
What was the Danish Harry
girl?
Potter
the
one?
Danish girl.
Danish girl.
Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah.
Technically, Jupiter Ascending, but he's a space.
Right. He's a space. He's like a 1,000-year-old spaceman.
Yeah. Wait, hold on. Let me see. Because I honestly don't think. Maybe he just has one of those like faces and temperaments for.
Right.
The past.
That's the
know?
Thing. Whenever I look at him, I'm like, I want to throw him 100 years ago. I want to. Right. I want to. Yeah.
Yeah, Theory of Everything, back in the day, Fantastic Beasts, back in the day, Danish Girl, back in the day, Les Mis, back in the day, Aeronauts, Pioneering Balloonist, My Week with Marilyn, back in the day, Savage Grace with Julianne Moore, I think that was also back in the day, Other Berlin Girl, back in the day, Early Man, animated, but still about cavemen,
back in the day, yep,
Elizabeth in the Golden Age, back in the day, Good Shepherd, back in the day. Yeah, I don't think he literally, I don't know if he's ever done.
Technically, Jupiter Ascending is a modern film because it takes place now, but mm-hmm. he's in space. He's a space king.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, he doesn't belong on this earth at this time.
Exactly. No. He's
also, he was in Thomas and Friends, Sodor's Legend of the Lost Treasure.
Did that take place?
John Hurt was also in it. Who? How many people are in this Thomas the Tank Engine
movie? I think kids' cartoons, they just get these actors, they give them a bunch of money, and
yeah,
because like,
they can record it in like their living room.
John Hurt, Olivia Colman. Oh my god, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Fun fact.
All right, that's the Aeronauts, you guys.
Sure. Yeah.
Frozen balloon. Frozen people balloon? Falling down, maybe off the balloon. Maybe they won't.
I bet they
probably
don't.
Probably not. Yeah.
Probably they almost not. Do. They all probably stay on the balloon.
Here in the cars. You know, I don't have a thing with heights like myself. Like going up in tall buildings doesn't freak me out or anything like that. But something about high heights in movies, I get so stressed out. Like I almost had a panic attack at Skyscraper.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's very weird. I don't know why.
That's a funny movie to have a visceral reaction to.
Yeah.
Skyscraper was fucking great.
It is a great movie. No one's denying that.
No.
All right, next trailer, you guys.
Mm.
Joker. While you guys talk about this, I'm going to go get a lozenge.
Oh, David!
Oh, my gosh.
He got a squeaky throat.
Ah, Dave, you're thwarting this.
Well, what do you feel about Joker?
I don't know. I don't, like, the trailers just haven't been interesting to me.
Right.
And it's pretty, I am not the first person to make this comparison, but it's like pretty on its face, the King of Comedy.
Right.
They even have De Niro in it as the guy.
Yeah, which is weird as weird.
Yeah.
It's just weird as fuck.
So it's like, I kind of feel like I know exactly what this movie's going to be. It's getting crazy buzz, though, so I don't know.
Well, it's because it's just Joaquin Phoenix.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if you put him in anything, people are going to be like, it's the next award season, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Someone pointed out on Twitter, I can't remember who, so apologies, but talked about how it's like, and I get this, it kind of glamorizes, like, the events that occur to becoming someone who would be like a mass shooter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think romanticizing this idea of like the heroic anti-hero downtrodden, you know, guy who snaps. Like, I don't know.
It's hard because there's been movies like that in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And there are good movies. Like Taxi Driver is a good movie.
Yeah.
I would consider Clockwork Orange a good movie. It's a very upsetting movie. And that's the thing is those movies, it's this weird thing is like there's a punk band, there's several punk bands that dress up like Clockwork Orange. Like it's a mm-hmm. cool look.
Right.
And it's like same with the Joker. It becomes this cool look.
Yeah.
But the movies themselves, like a Clockwork Orange isn't being like, look how cool this guy
is. No, it made a choice. It made a very specific choice that people then emulate.
It is for kind of from his perspective. So he's like, yeah, I'm cool.
Right.
But you're watching them do awful things. So it's a weird, I don't know, films like this, it's a weird line to walk, I think.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it depends on why the movie exists. So like, so far with Joker, I've just been sort of checked out for that reason where it's just like, well, I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
I kind of don't care.
Right.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. But like I was saying,
which I might have missed.
Yeah, you probably did because you were off fucking around and derailing this show.
Just getting a lozenge.
Real power play, Dave. Real power play.
I needed that lozenge.
It's getting crazy buzz, and they've already started screening it for critics, which is nuts.
Huh.
So they clearly are excited about this movie.
I just feel like it's, I think, similar with like Star Wars, just that fatigue.
Yeah.
Of like, oh, okay, so I guess once a year there's going to be some Batman thing, Batman adjacent, you know, like, or whatever. Like, it's just, why would I be excited? Because there's always going to be another one, and sometimes it's going to be a reboot, and sometimes it's going to be a new character that we focus on. But it's like, I don't, like I said, it's just, why watch this one when I know there's going to be another fucking 18 million of these down the chute,
yeah,
you know?
That's a great point.
Yeah, in the last decade, we figured out that, like, oh, yeah, if one doesn't work, we'll just make another. That was the Spider-Man thing, where they're like, let's make a new Spider-Man. Oh, that didn't work? Okay, let's try again.
The Hulk,
oh, that worked.
Right?
Yeah,
they do that with the Hulk.
The Hulk. But there was usually this thing where they're like, we'll have, like, some time between them.
Yeah.
Like, a decade, so people get excited. And now it's just like, no, it's just one after another. Who gives a shit?
Yep.
We're going to have, like, two different versions of the Joker now.
Right.
Probably in the same year, because Suicide Squad's coming out fairly soon.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're making it right now.
They're making it.
I don't think it's due until next year, but.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm withholding my judgment on this, because I understand all the problematic aspects of this type of story of the anti-hero.
Well,
but it really depends on how it's executed, I think.
In fairness, I don't know, like, from everything we've seen in the movie and what we know of the character, I don't think the intent of the movie is to cast him as an anti-hero.
Right.
Right? Like, I think, you know, we made comparison to Taxi Driver and King of Comedy. It's like, no, this is just a grueling character study of a terrible person.
Right.
So I would hope that they have this, you know, that's what this is, but I don't know. Who can say?
I feel like a grueling character study, there's no redeeming qualities, right? The whole point is to show, like, this person is just bad, but, like, I mean, like, watching that, it's like, no, you're supposed to humanize him. You see him smooching a lady, and you see him, you know, people beating the crap out. You know what I mean? Like, they're trying to get you on his side.
Right, like,
regardless.
When you're doing a movie from the point of view of a villain, you're still making a movie. So you need, like, the person you're watching to be someone you're rooting for, usually.
So, I mean, like, the one I keep thinking of is There Will Be Blood.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
You're never on that asshole side.
I never liked him.
Yeah.
You know?
But you liked watching him.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And that's what it is. Yeah.
That's the difference. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
This next trailer is The Laundromat.
Yeah.
This is
Soderbergh.
Soderbergh.
I really love that it's the second film featuring one of the two male leads from 1996's Evita.
It's
Jonathan Pryce and Antonio Banderas.
I'm excited to see Antonio Banderas.
Me too.
For sure,
in a comedy.
It's always nice to see him again.
He doesn't do funny that often.
He hasn't done much of anything. What was the
last
thing?
I think he's been doing his own stuff.
He's been doing some.
Oh, like producing or doing?
Or like doing, I think he might be doing some Spanish language films.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But nothing, you know.
Yeah, he's been doing some kind of under the radar stuff. But yeah, it's he's great.
I haven't seen him do comedy since like Spy Kids or like Four Rooms. Like, I don't know. Mm. I like him doing comedy.
Shrek. The Shrek movies.
Shrek, yeah. And Gary Oldman, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Good God.
There's a man
second
that doesn't do comedy.
No. No, he was on Friends. I'm wearing two belts.
Is he really?
Yeah, he plays an established, like, a very fancy pants actor. This is the second episode where I've talked about Gary Oldman.
I did
last time, too.
All circles back around.
Everybody
to Gary
loves
Oldman.
Gary Oldman.
And Meryl. It's a stacked cast.
Yeah. It's a great cast, yeah.
Seems like a really
Soderbergh's,
great premise.
Yeah, Soderbergh's good with that, where, like, he attracts a cast because I think he's just, it's like Wes Anderson, where he's like, he's something completely different than you normally get to be.
Yeah, everybody wants to work with him, so.
Yeah, either that or he makes, like, weird thrillers, which I love. Side Effects? You guys see Side Effects?
No.
Oh, it's so good. or like Contagion. You guys seen Contagion?
Nope.
Contagion, is that the one with Gwyneth Paltrow?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, and Matt Damon?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was a weird one.
Tom, haven't you, and Jude Law.
Oh,
no, I didn't
yeah.
see Contagion.
How haven't you seen Contagion, Tom? You gotta see that shit, and Side Effects, everybody.
Sure.
Everybody go see that. And Unsane, which is,
Where the woman had, they said she was crazy, but she's not, and they institutionalize her.
It was filmed on an iPhone, and it's really good. It's a thriller, and it's hard to watch. Like, well, no, I shouldn't say that. Like, it wasn't upsetting, it's just, it's like tense and it's frustrating at times because it's supposed to be. I recommend it.
But yeah, so this film is about the lawyers who clean everything up and do the bad shit for all the rich people.
Yeah, they launder money for rich people.
Yep. It's great.
Yeah. I don't know. Because did you guys see Logan Lucky? Because that's another one that has, right?
Yes and no, I didn't.
He's been really busy. Didn't he say he was going to retire?
I mean, who can say?
And I think he did the opposite. Logan Lucky, I didn't think was very good. I think Soderbergh, like comedy, zany comedy, I think it's pretty much miss, right? Because it's like Ocean 11 and then like the sequels. And
Ocean's
then like
11
The Informant.
Was the first. Oh, yeah.
Which one?
The Informant.
Oh, yeah. The Informant was fun.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's more miss than hit. Whereas I think his thrillers are, I love all the stupid thrillers he does.
Ocean's 11 was the first DVD I owned.
That's a great first DVD.
Yeah, it was great. But yeah, I don't know. It's just one of those things where I'm like, oh, I will enjoy this. It will be an interesting story. I like the... What? Do you have cough drop on your fingers?
I might. You don't have to call attention to it.
I just look over and David is like a tiny like child eating a pie with his hand. He just like is licking his fingers. And I'm like, what's going on over there, bud?
I am often like a tiny child
like
eating
a
pie.
Like a tiny child. Sorry, I didn't mean to blast, put you on blast. I love it, Tom.
You coughed, you just lozenge shamed me. That's
sorry.
What you did.
Sorry. But yeah, I don't know. It looks, I think I will enjoy it.
Yeah,
I'm
excited for this.
Looks fun and different.
You know what I'm not that excited for is The King.
Is this Henry,
what do you guys
Henry
think?
The Fifth? Which king is this?
It's one of them Henrys. How many Henrys are there?
Tiny Timmy Chalamet.
Fucking lot, yeah. Man. It is Tiny Timmy Timmy.
I think Johnny
Chalamet.
Depp's daughter is in there.
She is.
Yeah.
You got a Ben Mendelsohn in there.
Yeah,
you got
and
a Pattinson.
Joel Edgerton.
Yep.
I like that he's just writing us so much shit now. You're
yeah,
like,
he's
right.
Just like behind the scenes a lot. I'm like, all right, Joel Edgerton.
Sure. And then Robert Pattinson with hair, which
looking like he should be in Interview with a Vampire.
Yes.
Honestly.
Oh
just
yeah,
the
for
whole
sure.
Vibe.
He can't escape that look.
Are we ready to remake Interview with a Vampire?
I think we should. I think we're ready. This
with
camp,
Robert
we, like,
Pattinson
can't be shit enough.
Yeah.
Some like. Vaguely foppish, like great New Orleans.
I don't know, man. That movie's so much
vibey.
Fun as it is.
It's a really good movie.
I guess we could remake it.
I've said it thousands of times is that movie is the movie that always makes me realize, like, every single time I watch that movie, I'm like, right, Tom Cruise, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Because it's so different than anything he's ever done, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And he does have range, but just. Fucking Interview with a Vampire. It's so weird. And with long blonde hair dancing with a corpse. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what the fuck is going on?
Yep.
Tom Cruise.
Yeah. Eats a crocodile.
Like he sure does.
He sure does. They
Kirsten
slash
Dunst
his throat and throw him in the bayou.
Yeah.
I love Kirsten Dunst in that movie.
Yeah, she's
like,
a little
that made me. I'm
monster.
Excited for her. He just licked his fingies.
I did.
Again.
I took my lozenge out.
That being on Becoming a God in Central Florida, that new show that Kirsten Dunst is.
I saw trailers for that. It looks good.
Yeah. I'm like, way to go. She's such a good actress. And I feel like.
Yeah.
I
like her in everything she's. What?
We're talking about
everything
the
but the king. Well, you guys saw the same trailer as me.
I looked it up. It is about Henry V. So.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, like, who? I don't know. they're all like these young actors being real serious and like trying to do like an old timey thing. And I just, I don't care. I'm sure it'll be good. I don't care about them or their faces.
Their tiny little faces.
Their tiny little
Timmy.
Faces.
Tiny Timmy and his bowl cut.
Tiny Timmy's face. Yeah.
I actually, they're in that trailer has a weird like ASMR moment for me. Fun fact. I like watching like the ASMR videos I watch are like when people like touch another person's face or like rub their shoulders, like something about that is like very soothing
really?
To me. So when he's getting knighted or like made king,
yeah,
the like Pope guy puts his, he bends down, he's got no shirt on, and the Pope guy like puts his finger on his spine. And I was like,
oh, I remember. Ah. Yeah.
Almost took a nap watching that trailer.
They're playing my song.
Not because it was boring, but because there was an ASMR moment.
That's a weird aspect of ASMR. I don't want to judge you on this, because like watching ASMR videos, the things that would affect me are more like the touching plastic or like
the sound
stuff. Yeah, body touching makes me go and like kind of.
Well, it's not. It's interesting. And here's this lovely tangent we're now in.
Yeah,
I as a like. My mom has always like rubbed my hair in my ears. Like since I was a little girl, I put my head in her lap and she'd do that. And her mom did that to her. And it's very soothing to me.
Okay.
And if like some of the videos I watch, there's this one duo called Female ASMR. And I don't know if they're brother, sister, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, can't tell, which is good because it's not sexual then. Cause you know, there's no tension. It's not about that. But like,
well, as far as you know,
that's fair. But she like uses these weird like a spoon and like weird shit on this guy's face, and it is so soothing. She like will draw on his face lightly with like eyeliner, and then like use like a little like a oven
like
mitt
a POV
that's, like
one?
Microfiber. No,
okay, I've
it's
seen
just
the POV
trained
ones.
On both of them, and she just does it with such purpose and touch, and rubs her fingers on his face and in his hair, and I pass out to sleep because it's. So soothing.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right, let's move
the
on.
The internet's great.
That and chiropractic videos, those two.
Really?
Made us sleep. Not the insane ones where they like, oh my God. I like chiropractors.
Yeah, let's get in it.
Who are, they do body work ahead of time, so they like do a lot of like running their hands over down a person's spine, like palpating, like massage.
It's all about the spine, spine stuff with you.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's very soothing watching them just touch on backs. What were we talking about? The king?
No, we're moving on now. We're moving on. We covered the king.
I feel like we've covered the Tim.
Yeah, Tiny Timmy. What's next?
This was actually a movie that deserved more hype a while ago. Tom, I don't know if you were on that episode, but the full trailer's out. Girl on the Third Floor.
I was not on the
starring CM Punk.
Starring CM motherfucking Punk.
This all right. When I covered it on Movies That Deserve More Hype, the trailer was very. There was a teaser, and it was just like The Shining, only it was the kitchen sink shot, and it was like stayed on it for a while, just like The Shining trailer, and then just blood spurted from the sink. It's getting good reviews. People have compared it to like stuff like The Shining. I really want to see this.
Yeah, I like the trailer. I wish they didn't have like three different critic blurbs that are like, this movie is really gory. I'm like, okay,
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, there was one that was like, has enough gore for blah, blah. And
right.
Like,
gore hounds.
Right,
yeah.
So this is going to get like, fucked up.
Keeps you interesting till its gory ending. I'm like, don't tell me about the fucking ending, you jerk.
Right.
Yeah, CM Punk goes to Home Depot, fucks a ghost, then takes his own eyeball out. That's what I got. That's what I got from that trailer.
I'm pretty sure that's the plot.
I spent like the first 20 seconds being like, is that John Hamm? Nope. CM Punk.
You know what it was? I think pulling him out of context, I was like, who's this tattooed fucker, like, you know, doing all these home repairs? And then I was like, wait a minute. I go, I know that person. And then I was like, oh, it's CM Punk.
This is the weirdest, because I've seen headlines of being like, CM Punk is in a horror movie and it's good. Like, it's just like, how did this happen? How did we allow this? But I'm all for it. He does look like John Hamm if John Hamm was sick.
Mm. Yeah.
He looks like sick ham.
Sick ham.
Sick ham.
Ham sick.
I don't know. I'm very excited for this. I agree with the pull quotes are kind of irritating. It's just everything I've read about this, it seems like it's going to be a really good horror movie.
Sure, I'll watch it.
Yeah.
Pulling their blood, the walls bleed, the sconces bleed.
Yeah, it's basically a guy who, he's redoing this house, gutting it.
It used to be a brothel, right?
A house of ill repute.
Yeah. Oh.
And then it's him basically going like slowly crazy, I think, while fixing up this house. And there's this girl in the third floor that he like totally has sex with, and his wife is angry. Or is she pregnant?
She's pregnant and angry. Mm-hmm. I
think. Yeah,
she can make
both of those things.
And yeah, I think it's going to be oddly psychological. I don't know.
Well, it's got a real ghost story vibe from it. Like he's fucking a ghost, I'm sure.
Yeah, probably. Most likely.
And then he takes out his own eyeball.
And then he takes out his own eyeball.
That's what you do when you have sex with a ghost.
Mm-hmm. Or you get thrown out of a hotel while naked.
Yep.
Reference to the movie Ghost Story, which we've talked about many times.
Yeah. Or you have a brain tumor and die.
Right.
That's from Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Wait, he fucks a ghost in that?
No. Fuck it. Katherine Heigl fucks her ex-boyfriend, George, who is dead.
Okay.
She, like, hallucinates that she's fucking him, and people think she's actually fucking him. Like, they're outside, they can hear it, and she thinks she's fucking him, but she's actually not. But, yeah, fucks a ghost. And then the reason that happened is because she had a giant brain tumor, and then they killed her off.
Sure.
Final reason to fuck a ghost, you're Matthew McConaughey, who has said in an interview that he's had sex with a ghost.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, if anyone was going to.
Was he in Ghosts of Girlfriends Past?
Yes.
I don't know.
Based on a true story.
I'm pretty sure, anyway.
Is Ghosts of Girlfriends Past about fucking a ghost?
I don't know, but it involves ghost girlfriends.
All right, let's move on.
I'm never going to watch it. All right, let's move on. American Horror Story 1984. I was not interested in this, and then I was suddenly very interested in this. Tom, can you identify the moment that I was suddenly interested in this?
It was when Mitch Pledge showed up.
It was when Mitch Pledge showed up.
It was when Skin Man showed up.
Yeah. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I hate American Horror Story.
I'm just this is silly, but I'm a loyalist to 5-second films. Like, I think that Dude Bro Party Massacre is like the best skewer of the 80s horror thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That, like, I don't think I really need to see. Like, they're not going to do anything that 5-second films didn't already do a version of.
That was kind of my feeling of this, is that it felt like it's so on the nose.
It also feels way late to do this.
It feels like someone was like, hey, look at them Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Let's do, and it feels too on the nose. Like, it feels just so one-to-one that it's just like, oh, who gives a shit?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're just going to do all the tropes.
Yeah.
Right? Which is why I like 5-second films, is because they took the tropes and did something with it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I haven't watched an American Horror Story since the clown one, I think.
I've watched 3 seasons of it, and I've hated all 3 seasons. It's a stupid show.
But Lady Gaga was in it.
It's just all around bad. She's in a few of them.
Oh, yeah. A couple. She won an Emmy.
Sure. Why not?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
It's a bad show.
It's
they're badly
this
written.
Is gonna
they're
depend.
Not scary.
This is,
they're just gross. That's
watching
it.
This is on, I'm going to put this on my back burner where I'm like, okay, if I run out of shit to watch, I'll go to this. And like sometimes that back burner has some great shit in it. That's how I just burned through fucking all of The Handmaid's Tale.
Sure.
Because that was on my back burner. And then I was like, this is a fantastic show. So that's where I'm putting this. Like,
okay.
When Jack Ryan season 2 is done.
Mm-hmm. You got to give precedence to Jack Ryan.
Oh, yeah. If I have a gap, I'll be like, yeah, let me check out this American Horror Story 1984.
I just, if we're talking about shows that
sure, why not?
Should be on the back burner. I just finished season one of Money Heist on Netflix.
I don't even know what that is.
So Money Heist is a Spanish heist show. And it's dubbed. It's from Spain. And it is great. And I think Money Heist is the dumbest title. The real title in Spain is El Casa de Papel, the House of Paper.
Because all heists are money heists. Usually.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's like jewels or art, but it's all about the value of them, which is money. Highly recommend it to anybody. I just finished season one. Don't tell me what happens because there are four seasons and I have to like hold off
from
watching it. But highly recommend it if people need back burner shows.
I'll check it out. Yeah. Yeah, cool. I can't recommend Handmaid's Tale enough. That was one of those. I mean, that's like a popular show, so I'm like late to it, but. Just watching it, like, I blew through that. It was, it's a harrowing show, but it was really good. We should get on to stories.
We should. Yeah, let's go ahead and get on to stories.
Woo!
She-Hulk and Moon Knight are getting Disney shows.
Sure.
Why not?
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, that it won't be done with the care it deserves. Do you know what I mean? Because I think we talked about it before, is Disney Plus has created an environment where they just need to fill the platform.
Yeah.
And while I think people will be like care about it, making it, obviously, I don't think everybody's like fucking awful, but it's like, I just don't think the process is one that's organic. So everything's going to be kind of slapdash together.
Yeah. And it's a shame that we're getting like, She-Hulk and Miss Marvel like 10 years into the game.
Right. Afterthoughts.
My apathy doesn't come from me not liking the characters. I like She-Hulk. I like Moon Knight. I like Miss Marvel. It's just like I'm so burned out on superhero movies. It's like I don't want to get invested in the Disney Channel.
The last invigoration
Disney Channel
I got.
Superhero show.
The last. Oh, sorry.
No, I laughed.
Oh.
I laughed at Tom.
Yeah.
The last invigorating thing that happened to me was Daredevil, I think, where it was like, okay, well, we got Vincent D'Onofrio here. We got great casting. We got like a lower stakes, grittier Daredevil. Like I really appreciated that angle. But you can't really do that for like She-Hulk, it doesn't feel like. And yeah, it's too much. There's just too much now.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even know if I want to get Disney Plus because of, can we get into the next news story?
Yeah.
Apparently, and this isn't confirmed, but apparently they won't have any R-rated content.
Yep.
Which then it's like, what is even the point of getting Disney Plus? Do you know what I mean? I know why they're not doing it is because it's like, oh, this is where you can get the Disney thing. And so people will get it for their children and they're not going to want a Netflix.
They're also, Apple is having a similar thing where Apple was like, we want family stuff only. And it's like, what the fuck is wrong with you guys? On top of that, and this is another story down the list, apparently they're not licensing like Fox films to indie theaters.
That
so
really
like,
fucking sucks.
Yeah
like Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Are we supposed to watch like random
like
movies that no one is watching?
Midnight screenings of like Die Hard and shit. And so it's just like, okay, no R-rated stuff and we're not licensing this stuff out. So it's like, what the fuck are you, do you just hate Fox? Does Disney just like, are they just like, fuck Fox, we've hated them for so long,
just
we're gonna buy
them?
Yeah.
I don't know. So wait, so Rocky Horror is included?
Is it? I actually just
because
threw
that
out.
That would be the saddest part of
no,
this,
that can't,
honestly.
They can't do that though. They can't like, that's a American tradition.
That's an institution.
Yeah.
I mean, they can do anything because nobody stops them.
That's true.
Because they're Disney.
Yep.
Let's see. Hold on. Let's see. Rocky Horror.
But yeah, I know. I mean, I know I'm going to probably get Disney Plus at some point, but at the same time, I'm not sure. You know what? I might not. Now that I'm looking at it.
Yeah, I'm not.
Not at a protest, but because like the more I hear about it, the more I'm like, I don't really need to see that.
Yeah, like it sounds like the idea of some of these shows are exciting, but I don't need to see the Disney-fied Disney Channel version of it. Like that's not exciting to me.
It's distributed by 20th Century Fox.
Distributed?
Yep.
Okay.
Damn.
Yeah. I don't know what's going
on. Wow, that's a bummer.
Yeah. I mean, this is why... I can't say this. This is why I appreciate what Amazon, how Amazon exists.
Oh my
and
God.
It doesn't have to be Amazon's a big fucking problem. But the way they do movies where they're just like, look, it's a video store.
Yeah.
You pay video store prices, you rent it, and it's like fucking, they're like the only people doing that. And it's like, why not? That's the model that works. It's like, yeah, I'll pay $4 to watch fucking Murder at 1600. I mean, I bought that movie, but you know what I mean? Like, it's just that system works. Just fucking
do that.
Throw us a couple bucks and you'll watch this movie for 24 hours.
Yeah, it is just, it's kind of reaching a stress level because, like, I'm a Friends fan and, you know, that's a lot of what I watch on Netflix is Friends. And they're pulling it and putting it on Warner Brothers, whatever Warner Brothers streaming is. Right. But like, I have those DVDs. I have the whole series on DVD, but it made me like kind of have an existential crisis of like, so when they pull everything from Hulu and they pull everything from Netflix, like all of these different streaming, mm-hmm. it's like, what am I going to watch? Like, what will be left on Netflix? Which it'll be like original series and
all
stuff.
Original series.
But like, I don't really care.
Yeah
I like Russian Doll. Well, and Money Heist, you know.
Money Heist,
oh, and Hyperdrive. If no one's watched Hyperdrive, it's delightful.
This is it's like I made this comparison on some more news, but it's like if a restaurant, you went to a restaurant and all the waiters were starting their own little restaurants in the restaurant and like competing with each other. And you're just like, what is going on? I just want to like eat at this restaurant. And they're all like serving the same basic meal. And you're like, I want something else. Like, it's that where it's like, just do the service. Just provide me other people's stuff.
I just want to eat the Big Chill.
Yeah, I just want to eat the Big Chill. Yeah,
give me the Big Chill with a side of Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
It's like, imagine if every movie theater made their own movies. And you would go in and they'd be like, yeah, I mean, we got those other, but you should check out the movies we made. And it's like, no, I just want to see the newest fucking movies that are out. What is wrong with you?
I just want to see 1995 Sabrina. That's all I want to see.
Woof.
I want to see Super Troopers somewhere.
On the subject of streaming, The Irishman is 3.5 hours long.
And
Martin Scorsese.
Literally, I was like, and? Like, that's of course it's a million hours. It's Scorsese.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's the first film he's having distributed on Netflix, which is like, that's the perfect place for a film that's 3.5 hours long.
That's why I wanted to bring this up, because it was like, oh, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, like I said, I was watching, I got sick and I watched 8 hours of The Handmaid's Tale the other day. And it was like, yeah, like if someone was like, my movie's 8 hours long, and it would be like, oh, that sucks. And they're like, but it's on Netflix. And it's like, oh, okay, that's everything we do.
I don't have to wear pants. I can pause. I can get a snack.
Exactly.
I can come back to it. I've watched.
Not only do you not have to wear pants, I dare say that if you are, you're doing it wrong.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So
that goes for movie theaters too. Like, it's dark in there.
Was he being shitty about Netflix? Like Spielberg was being shitty about Netflix. Is he part of that camp of directors?
I don't think so.
I'm not sure.
I wouldn't think so, because Scorsese strikes me as the type of guy that's like, yeah, I love the history and I love the process, but also I get that like things change. Whereas Spielberg's like, fuck that.
Well, I mean, a lot of the things we were just complaining about is the stuff that Spielberg is talking about.
Yeah, like Spielberg, I get where he's coming from.
But the Roma thing, I still think was quite shitty. Saying that, like,
oh yeah, for sure, yeah.
That a film can't have the weight or the gravity or the technical prowess if it's on Netflix. Like, it doesn't count as much. But Roma is an example.
He picked a terrible movie to.
Yeah, should have picked that one, man.
He's still smarting from not getting a nomination for himself for Jaws.
Wait, did he want one for Jaws?
Have you not seen that?
No.
He was like so sure he was going to get nominated for Best Director that he had a camera crew come over and film him, and then he didn't get nominated.
Oh, Steven.
No, it was like a real shit bag thing of like, he was so certain. Mm-hmm. It's on YouTube. I'll find it for you.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. It's around. I've seen it.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about directors and, I don't know, weird stuff. Richard Linklater's making a movie for the next 20 years. He's making another Boyhood.
My God, Richard Linklater.
It's a musical.
Yeah.
Sure.
Merrily we roll along.
Yeah. It stars, who does it star? It's
Beanie Feldstein's in it. And Ben Platt.
I mean, more power to him, I think. Boyhood wasn't a very good movie, but I enjoyed the fact that it existed because that was like a cool
idea.
It's a hell
of a thing to do, yeah.
Yeah. Like, why not? Fuck it. It's like that Malkovich movie where they're like, you can't watch it for 100 years.
Yeah.
And it's like, all
buried
right.
in a time capsule. Okay.
This is some weird art. I don't want to watch it because, you know, fuck you. I'll be dead. But
like, how good can it be? It's probably just Malkovich reading a newspaper or something.
I hope that's what it is.
Oh, from man. Well, now I want to dig it up.
From a producerial standpoint, though, I wonder, like, how does that sort of thing work in terms of, like, ensuring your movie, because 20 years is a long time, and if you have any like middle age actors in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
they might die. Like, did that happen in?
Well, that's the thing, is that I think that's the reason Boyhood is a cool idea, but there's not much of a plot because it's sort of meandering, because it is just like, and now this happens, because we really can't bet on anything. Like, I think.
Yeah, on setting anything up to pay off because
we don't know what's going to happen. Also, and I think that's how it is that because Boyhood, like every few years, they would just like film something, and mm-hmm. it was like, yeah, let's just film something and like figure it out as we go.
The world could end in that time.
Yeah,
you know what
probably.
I mean.
Yeah,
like
it's weird because I like to imagine like studios having to inherit this movie. Like one closes down, the other one's like, oh, we got that Linklater film.
God, fucking
God, that thing's never going away. But
we're never going to be done with it.
Yeah.
Curse you, Linklater.
Yeah. It's a cool thing that we can now forget about, right?
Yeah, for the next 20 years.
Yeah.
I mean,
I hope I'll still remember Beanie Feldstein.
I hope
in
I'm still
years.
Alive in 20 years. Like, good God.
Same.
Like, I don't even know what's going to be happening to me in 20 years.
Yeah,
I know.
Sitting in some like Mad Max-esque theater, right, like the apocalypse. We've all we're a bunch of warring nations on like motorcycles, and we're all sitting and watching this fucking
Linklater
movie.
Comes out of a bunker, like I finished it,
wearing skeleton armor.
Well, yeah. How old is he?
I don't know. He's not that.
He's older than me.
He's like maybe in his 40s, 50. I don't know. I'm just
right,
throwing that number
like
out.
20 years of a movie plus post.
Yeah, I mean, he better
make it.
Yeah, he better survive.
Get hit by a bus.
Maybe that's part of it. I mean, maybe it's therapeutic for him to be like, yeah, 20 years planned. Like, this is my goal for 20 years.
That's an interesting thought.
Better not fuck it up.
Woof.
Yeah, better not be like Sufjan, who was like, I'm going to do an album for all 50 states.
Right.
And he did two and was like, never mind.
Yeah, yeah. He bailed on that pretty quickly. You guys, Richard Linklater is 59 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's, you know, that's, he'll be 80 when the filming's
wow.
done.
Wow.
But he'll probably be almost 80
he'll
in
be,
mid-80s when it's
I guarantee done. He'll cut it as he goes, where it's like I,
yeah,
I'm
I
sure what'll happen is that if
and
he
then
croaks.
If he dies, it's just a short movie.
Yeah, exactly. And I think about also the actors, if there's any of them who become like, who like have some sort of harrowing journey through drug addiction or God knows what, and just like every couple of years they have this one paycheck where they're like, I gotta go do that Linklater shit. Mm-hmm. Like just like showing up, like if they just give up on the acting careers and like it's just 20 years, anything
it's
can happen.
What if one of the leads pulls like a Roseanne Barr and just
exactly.
goes bananas?
Oh yeah.
And like is terrible, and but they're a main character and
yeah.
you can't just cut them out.
I don't know. I think that's the point. I think that's the part of the art, right? It's like, let's see where these 20 years bring these people and we'll like use it. Because
yeah.
Boyhood was his actual kid.
Hmm.
I'm pretty sure. which makes sense because it's basically
who
just
has
a home,
access to
it's a home movie that he's made like
it's a home movie with Ethan Hawke and Patricia Arquette in it.
Another fun Instagram dad.
Who, Ethan Hawke?
Mm-hmm. His daughter Maya's in Stranger Things, and he like will comment on her Instagram posts.
I can't imagine Ethan Hawke like at a computer or like holding a phone. It just doesn't register in my head. It's just a white blur when I try to picture that. But I guess he has to, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you could be like Elton John, who doesn't have a cell phone.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Just straight up not even bothering.
Like, why would he need one?
Honestly. He doesn't. Literally, who's someone's he calling? Doing his whole schedule. Oh, Kitten is here. I love Kitten.
Cat's here.
She let me pet her for a really long time, and then she bit me softly on my forearm.
That was, it was a love bite. It was a bite of approval.
Let's move on.
Sorry.
You guys want to hear about a movie that deserves more hype?
Yes.
Good God, do I.
Okay. Guys, this is called Villains. It's going to come out September 20th. It's currently got a 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. It is starring Bill Skarsgård. One of them Skarsgård. What's the other one? Jules Micah Monroe? It's the lady
Kira
from
Sedgwick.
It follows.
Kira Sedgwick? Yeah. Jeffrey Kira Donovan? Sedgwick.
Yeah. And it's about a couple of bank robbers, lovers on the run, who they stop at a gas station, they rob the gas station, and they need a car, and they go to the house of this two like suburban people, and they hold them at gunpoint. Oh no, they don't hold them at gunpoint at first. They're like going through their house, and they go into their basement and see that they have a girl chained in their basement. And then it proceeds to completely flip, where like instead of them being the aggressors, they end up tied up with this husband and wife
and this feral child.
I don't really have much more to say about it, except it all takes place in the same location for the most part. I think the opening scenes at the gas station are the only exception, but it's apparently just this like game of cat and mouse between these two couples, one of which is like a young bank robber couple who's completely underestimated this like sociopath couple, one of which played by Kira Sedgwick, which I hear she's fucking terrific in it. And
of
Bill Skarsgård. It's got a Skarsgård.
It's got a Skarsgård.
It's got Skarsgård. It's Pennywise. It's Pennywise Skarsgård.
Pennywise.
Castle Rock Skarsgård.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm into
and
this.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it looks terrific.
I like anything that makes a hard decision. It makes like a decision to be a certain thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like to at least make a big move and have it be. Because it's very stylistically like really bright.
Yes.
The scenic set design is really bold. Like the look of Bill and Kira is like very specific.
Yeah.
He's got, I think, like fake tan or like foundation or something.
Yeah, he's got a real.
He's got a mustache.
Oh, Jeffrey Donovan? Weird. Yeah. He's looking like a real George Hamilton.
He looks like he's in an Electric Six video. Like he looks like he's like a sketch comedy character.
He's wearing a lot of bronzer.
Yeah. But I like stuff that's like hard and fast like that. But I do. There's this little line at the end of the trailer where they're duct taped to the dinner table. Their arms are duct taped.
Right.
And she goes, "So are you guys gonna like kill us or what?"
Yep.
I was like, oh, I'm into this. This seems fun.
Yeah.
I'm on board.
Yeah. We just reviewed Ready or Not. And
I was about to ask.
Yeah, it has a very similar tone where it's like, look, we're just going to have a lot of fun. Like, I don't think this is going to, like, the reviews are saying, like, it's not scary. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, a lot of twists and turns and really fun.
I'm fine with that. Yeah, I'm into this.
Yeah, I'm super into this.
Has the Ready or Not episode come out yet?
Yeah, it has.
Oh,
Did you see that movie?
No, I want to because a lot of women I respect were like, that was fucking rad.
It's great.
And, but I feel like I know what it is based entirely on it was one of those trailers that literally like, this is the whole plot.
Yeah, it's still really fun.
Still good? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
They do a great job with it.
Super recommend.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a sewed.
It is a sewed.
Ah,
we
did,
a sewed.
My voice made it,
guys.
You did it. And he's got a loose cough drop just chilling on the top of his can.
Yeah, it's real gross.
No, that's good. That's good. I'm glad I'm not there in person.
Yay.
Katie, thank you so much for doing the show.
Thanks for having me again.
Of course.
It was great to have this be my second sewed.
Yeah.
What do you got going on? What do you want to tell people?
Oh boy, what do I have going on? I'm on Twitter and Instagram at KA Willert. I'm a producer who's looking for work. If anyone,
someone hire her.
Someone please hire me because I'm going insane. I've forgotten what it's like to work, and I hate that.
I mean, it's not great.
It's that thing of like, what was it like to go to a job? I don't remember. It's been 4 months.
Oh no.
So, I mean, I'm always afraid of sounding thirsty, so I hope I didn't sound thirsty, but I would like to work.
The appropriate level of thirst, I think.
One job, please.
Produced for live television. It shouldn't be this difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I've been up to.
Yeah.
Cool. Woo.
Dave, you want to tell them about our Patreon?
Yeah, I think so. Patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We have exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac.
Yep.
Check it out. We have a bunch of tiers. We have one where you watch movies with us every Friday.
We do.
We have, you can choose movies for us to watch and then do podcasts about.
Sure can.
It's there's we got a lot
of options
to offer. Yeah.
We put it all on the table.
How fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is fun. Yeah. Okay, let's be done.
All right.
Yay!
All right, say goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Our music is produced by Chris Corlew. You can follow him on Twitter at TheCorlew, C-O-R-L-E-W, and find more music at shipwreckedsailor.bandcamp.com. Our artwork is produced by Justin Brown. You can follow him on Twitter at Justin T. Brown, and find more of his artwork at artnessbyjustinbrown.com and justinbrown.info.